Chapter 44. Alamiah departed the temple in silence. Within a minute she was back. She bowed to the Red King, a full, kneeling bow at that, and said something quietly. The Red King narrowed his eyes. He murmured something to the girl and walked out. Conch horns blew, and the drums began again as he appeared to those outside. Alamiah had to raise her voice slightly to be heard. "My lord wishes you to know that this place is watched and warded. Should you attempt to leave with the child, you will be destroyed, and she with you." "Understood," I said calmly. Alamiah gave me a more conventional bow and hurried out after the Red King. When she was gone, I took 2 steps over to the altar and the dead woman upon it. Then I said, "All right, tell me what I'm looking at." From the improvised Rolling Stones t-shirt bag tied to my sash, Bob the Skull said, in his most caustic voice, "A giant pair of cartoon lips." I muttered a curse and fumbled with the shirt until one of the skull's glowing orange eye sockets was visible. "A big, goofy magic nerd," Bob said. I growled at him and aimed his eye at the altar. "Oh," Bob said. "Oh, my." "What is it?" I asked. "The ritual curse they're setting up," Bob said. "It's a big one." "How does it work, in 10 seconds or less?"
Ugh," Bob said. "Okay, picture a crossbow. All the human sacrifices are the effort you need to pull back the string and store the energy. This crossbow has its string all the way back, and it's ready to fire. It just needs a bolt."
"What do you mean, a bolt?"
"Like the little girl hiding back behind it," Bob said. "Her blood will carry the stored energy out into the world and conduct that energy to the target. In this case, her blood relatives."
I frowned for a second, then I asked, "Does it have to be Maggie, specifically?"
"Nah, one bolt is pretty much like another. Long as you use a compatible knife to spill the blood, it should work."
I nodded.
"So, what if we used a different bolt?" "The same thing would happen," Bob said. "The only difference would be who was on the receiving end."
"It's a loaded gun," I said quietly. I frowned.
"Then why'd they leave me alone with it?" "Who are you gonna kill to set it off?" Bob asked. "Your little girl? Yourself? Come on, boss."
"Can we disarm it then? Scramble it?"
"Sure. It'd blow this temple halfway to orbit, but you could do that."
I ground my teeth. "If it goes off the way they mean it to, will it kill Thomas?"
"The girl's human," Bob said. "So only the human bits. His body, his mind. I suppose if he got lucky, he might wind up a vegetable in which his hunger demon was trapped. But it won't spread any farther into the White Court than that."
"Damn it," I said. I started to say more, but caught motion out of the corner of my eye. I stuffed Bob all the way back into the sack, admonishing him to shut up, and turned to find Alamiah entering the temple with 12 of the full vampire jaguar warriors at her back.
"If you would follow me, Lord Wizard," the girl said, "I will conduct you to she who has wronged you. My lord wishes you to know that he gives his word that your daughter will be spared from any harm until the duel is concluded."
"Thank you," I said. I turned to look at my little girl one more time. She huddled against the wall, her eyes open but not fixed on anything, as if she were trying to watch everything around her at once. I moved over to the child, and she flinched again. I knelt down in front of her. I didn't try to touch her. I didn't think I would be able to keep cool if I saw her recoil from my hand. "Maggie," I said quietly. Her eyes flashed up to me, surprise evident there. "I'm going to take you away from the mean people," I said, keeping my voice as soft and gentle as I knew how. I didn't know if she even understood English. "Okay, I'm taking you out of here." Her lip trembled. She looked away from me again. Then I stood up and followed the priestess of the junky god to face my enemy. Outside, things had changed. The Red Court had filed down from the pyramid and were on the move, walking in calm, ordered procession to another portion of the ruins. My companions waited at the bottom of the stairs.
"Right," I said once I reached them. "Duel time." Sonya shook his head. "Mark my words,
This will not be settled in a dueling circle. Things like this always go to hell.
The accords are serious, I said. He'll play it straight. If I win, I get the girl, and we're gone.
Martin shook his head.
What? I asked him.
I know them, he said levelly. None of us are leaving this place alive.
His words had an instant effect on everyone. They hit Molly the hardest. She was already pale. I saw her swallow nervously.
Maybe you know the monsters, Martin, Murphy said quietly. But I know the guy who stops them. And if they don't return the girl, we'll make them regret it.
She nodded at me and said, Let's go. We can watch Dresden kill the bitch. I found myself smiling. Murphy was good people.
Once the last of the half-mortal Jaguar warriors had departed, we fell into step behind them and followed them toward what looked like another temple on the north end of the ruins. As we went beneath the temple doorway, though, we found ourselves passing through it into the open space beyond, a swath of green grass at least 150 yards long and 70 or 80 yards wide. Stone walls about 30 feet high lined the long sides of the rectangle, while the far end boasted a temple like the one we'd just entered.
It's a stadium, I murmured, looking around the place.
Ugh, Molly said. There are some pretty horrific stories about the Mayan spectator sports, boss.
Indeed, Leah sighed happily. They knew well how to motivate their athletes.
Alamaya turned to me and said,
Lord, your retainers may wait here. Please come with me.
Keep your eyes open, folks, I said. Then I nodded to Alamaya and followed her onto the field. Even as I started out, a woman started walking toward me from the opposite end. As she approached, I saw that Ariana had the same facial features, more or less, but she had traded in her pale skin for red-brown, her icy eyes for vampire black, and she'd dropped 6 inches from her height. She wore a simple buckskin shift and more gold jewelry than a Mr. T look-alike convention. Her nose was a little sharper, a little longer, but as we stopped and faced each other from about 10 feet away, I could see the hate boiling behind her eyes. I had no doubt that this was the Duchess. I smiled at her and said,
I got you now.